Let's go, John DeBella Show, daily podcast time. It's Monday morning, January 25th. How you doing out there, podcast people? The Super Bowl is set. Groundhog's Day is coming. Stuart Copeland was here. We begin our big three-part airing of snippets from our big chat with the drummer from The Police. The whole podcast is up online, probably right next to this one that you just clicked play on. So go listen to the full 43 minutes. Great chat with one of my favorite drummers out there. We busted on our boss, Bill, who is a Bills fan, shared four random facts, and thinned the herd, as always, for a Monday morning. Had patience in song stories today, and here it all is. Enjoy. It is the Daily Podcast.
What a game.
Both of them
were just fantastic.
I can't believe he's going to his 10th Super Bowl.
Well, the other stat is that the fact that he has been in 18%, we're talking about Brady, 18% of all Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right? You know, and I said this to Steve earlier, Dave, right? This was the Super Bowl I was asking for. These are the two teams I wanted to see together.
What, red teams?
Well, not just a matter of red teams, but...
I like red.
I wanted to see Brady and Mahomes. That's why I want to see the two.
Two winners.
This, for me, is like the true first Super Bowl. And this is something I say every Super Bowl season. There was no Super Bowl 1 and 2. It was the AFC-NFC championship for the first two, and it wasn't referred to as the Super Bowl until Joe Namath went up against Johnny Unitas. Because of those two players, it was, you had this icon and this upstart who predicted he would win the game.
Sure.
I wish Mahomes did that. How sweet would that be?
Oh, my God. It would really be fantastic. So, for me, this is like reliving that all over again. So, because of that action on those two players, they referred to this isn't just, the championship game. This is a Super Bowl. And it stuck. And then the NFL sometime later went, oh, they were all the Super Bowl.
That's so bizarre.
But if you have a ticket for one of the first two, it says AFC NFC Championship.
Oh, that'd be a cool relic.
There were even posters that said the same.
Is that right?
Yeah, it should be a great game. But this is going to be
a nice matchup.
This is going to be really great.
A lot of points.
How the hell does a team turn the ball over three times and still win the game?
How much time you got?
I mean, the Packers basically were like, we voluntarily give you the ball back. Right. You're only the best quarterback of all time. Here, take it.
Yeah,
we don't want to score a touchdown. We'll go for the 3 points.
I can't believe he kicked the field goal and let Tom Brady come on with the field.
I'd be
with 2.5 minutes
so
left.
Livid if I were a Packers fan. If I were a cheesehead.
By the way, speaking of field goals, how about the first attempt by Buffalo? Can't they find a kicker?
What are you talking about?
The first attempt at a field goal by Buffalo, he hit the upright.
Oh, either I missed
That's
it.
What it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I ended up losing my bet by 1 point.
Thanks, Buffalo.
The first one I remember seeing was a 56-yarder that he hit.
No, that was the second.
Oh, I missed the first one.
You missed the first one.
I thought so.
Right? And I was going like, and I'm really like, really?
Oh, that's
really?
Funny.
After all these years, you still haven't been able to find a kicker?
The John DeBella Podcast.
How does he do it? How the hell is he doing?
102.9 MGK.
Groundhog's Day is on its way. It's just, 8 days away, right? It's on the 2nd.
Is it?
Right. It's next week.
Okay.
It's next week.
I believe you.
I could have never told you when that was.
All right, but because of the pandemic, they don't want a chance, what's his name? Punxsutawney Phil?
Sure.
Right, they don't want a chance his health. Right. So they've decided, that they will only do it by Cameo. Now, if you don't know about Cameo, Cameo's a service that you can have anybody, a celebrity, all kinds of folks. We even do them ourselves. As a matter of fact, you can get a Cameo of any one of us. It's $10, and the money goes to the Veterans Multi Service Center. All right, bucks of Tony Phil.
Yep,
$80. $80
for a stupid rodent to pop up and kind of look at a camera if you're lucky.
It's actually just a guy holding a rodent.
Right.
And the guy, the guy does the talking for Phil.
$80? Where do the proceeds go? Do we know this at least?
Phil.
A zoo somewhere.
Top hats and then coats.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
Something we're really excited about because, this actually happened just before we went on vacation. We got to sit down and talk to Stuart Copeland from The Police. The running part of that this morning at 7:40. And we thought we were going to talk to him for about 10 minutes.
Sure.
We ended up on the phone with him for an hour. All right, or the better part of an hour.
And it still seemed like you wanted to keep talking.
Yeah,
like towards the end of the interview.
It was like we were like, we got nothing else to ask, Stuart.
He's like, don't leave me, guys. I'm having a blast.
So, and it was really fun. Now, we'll have some of that coming up at 7:40 this morning, but we will have it up as a podcast in total. And there's some, fiery language in there, so be careful.
Who are you, Bill Weston?
Fiery? Well, that's why.
Stuart sounds like Bill Weston, in my opinion.
Very much so.
Yeah. Speaking of Stuart Copeland, we do this every February where we have some sort of top thing go on for the top 20 of something.
Right.
And this year it is the top 20 debut albums. So you got The Police, Orlando Sayer Moore. You got Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. Meatloaf's Bat Outta Hell.
Boston.
Yeah. I mean, the list is great, right? And what we want you to do is vote on it. Right. Once again, I remind you, if you don't vote, don't bitch. Right. Because it went out. How could this not be in there? Well, it's because you didn't vote for it. That's why. But there is something else you should know. You can only vote once.
All right.
All right. So make sure when you go to WMGK.com, right, the voting is going to end this Friday. So when you go to WMGK.com to vote on this, make sure you read the whole list before you make a decision, because there's going to be a whole bunch of them in there, a lot more than 20, right? And starting on Monday, we will start starting at number 20.
Sure.
You know, each one counting down to a number one, and we'll have a set of music every day for you at 9 a.m. and 2 p.m.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
What about Bill the other day when we were talking about Rich Williams, right? And Bill goes, who's Rich Williams? And I said, eye patch guy from Kansas. Is going, eye patch guy?
I don't remember this conversation.
Oh, yeah, I was in the office for this.
He goes, eye patch guy? Who the hell is eye patch guy? And I'm going, Rich Williams from Kansas.
The only one with an eye patch.
Right? And he goes, why are you talking to a guy with an eye patch? I said, it's Rich Williams from Kansas.
Bill's new here.
Yeah, I know.
Be easy on him today.
Yeah, you got to be easy on him today.
Oh, that's right.
Bill's maniac. The mafia is in the fetal.
You think he put Connie through a table last night?
The John DeBella Podcast.
Ding.
102.9 MGK.
Well, it's Monday morning. Let's get to your randoms.
And now it's time for...
Random
facts.
1, 2, 3,
bah! All right, Cindy, get it rolling.
Okay, the two longest-running live-action sitcoms in TV history at 14 seasons are The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Sunny's been renewed to go at least 18 seasons.
Wow. Amazing. Well, I wonder if that beats Bonanza. Bonanza was like the longest-running TV show ever. Right? I wonder if 18 seasons does it. What do you got, Steve?
Shredder, who's the main bad guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, was originally going to be called The Greater.
Uh-huh.
Or Great Man.
Great Man? Okay.
Because of the weapons he has attached to his arms and his shoulders, they look like cheese graters.
That's insane.
Dave?
When a mosquito bites you, it needs to clear room in its body for the blood, so it pees on you first.
Oh, God.
Insult to injury.
All right. And lastly this morning, ABBA, the Beach Boys, Bob Marley, Diana Ross, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, the Notorious B.I.G., Oasis, Snoop Dogg, The Who, and Queen... all have never won a single Grammy. And there are your...
Random
facts.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Mamma mia.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK. You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents... Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Ashley Home Stores. Ashley Home Stores welcomes 2021 with 50% off, bonus 10%. Shouldn't it just be plus 10%? All right. And no interest for 3 years. That's Ashley Home Stores. Today, it's a Guns N' Roses song. It is Patience. And while Slash says that patience wasn't really required when Guns N' Roses recorded Patience.
That's one of Izzy's songs. And when we went and did that acoustic... EP Lies, we went into the studio and just recorded one day just all these acoustic songs, and that was one of them. It was live, took 3 minutes or however long the song is.
The John DeBella Podcast, Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So I'm thinking about this. I was telling you earlier this morning about Brady and Mahomes, mm-hmm. and how for me this is like reliving Super Bowl, what they're calling Super Bowl III, which was really Super Bowl I. Okay. All right, with Johnny Unitas and Joe Namath. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The age separation is almost the same.
Oh wow!
Right, well, yeah. I mean, Unitas. I don't know how old Unitas was. Exactly was when he played in that game,
mm-hmm.
but Mahomes is 25 and Namath was 26.
Wow, Brady's 43, and then what was the other age for Super Bowl III?
That's the one you're unclear on. Yeah, that's the one I'm unclear on, but he's checking that now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right, right. I remember Johnny Unitas dying, but he was like 69 years old. When Johnny Unitas started playing football, he was a $6 a game Sandlot player.
Wow.
That's how far back that goes.
I think it was 36.
36?
Born in 33, the Super Bowl was 69. That's 36. Right.
36. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. And as far as Brady is concerned, right, When he is what, 40 now, right?
43
now, yeah. All right? And Mahomes is 25. So Brady was winning Super Bowls when Mahomes was 6.
Wow.
All right? Maybe in the first grade.
Wow. That's insane. I wonder if he had a poster.
All right, right. Well, Brady in his 40s has won as many Super Bowls as Aaron Rodgers, Dan Marino, and Drew Brees did combined in their careers. Right? So
yeah,
it's incredible numbers.
I'm thinking he's a Hall of Famer.
Right. Yeah, I think there's a good chance.
I'll make that bet.
Okay, fine.
The John DeBella Podcast on Philadelphia's number one classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Let me give you some background on this interview, because it is a long interview, and you can hear the entire thing on WMGK.com. We had the opportunity to talk to Stuart Copeland from the police just before we went on Christmas vacation. And we thought we were going to get to talk to him for 10 minutes, maybe, right?
Yeah.
And then we start talking, and Stuart's in the talking mood. And an hour plus later, we're still on the phone with him. So after cleaning up the interview, it's just about an hour long, and obviously we're not going to play that right here, but you can listen to the whole thing. Is it up now, Dave?
Yep, it's up there.
Right,
it's live.
Right, right. The whole thing is sitting at WMGK.com, and we're going to give you pieces of this all week long, because it was really – he is now our new Ray Manzarek.
I said that on my weekend show.
Did you?
Absolutely. Right, great storyteller.
Right. He really has great stories, and there was nothing he wouldn't answer. And the amount of stuff that we learned about him, because we – his father, the spy, mm-hmm. and him moving around the world, and some of the stuff his father – the whole father thing is really interesting.
It's fascinating.
All right? And how his musical background. And the man writes operas. I mean, when you think of drummers, you do not think of them as songwriters for the most part.
Sure.
Right? And not only does he write operas, he does, soundtracks for movies. The man is diverse. So, as we're talking to him, we're learning more and more about him. And you will, if you go listen to the entire interview, you could download it and listen to it in your spare time. As I said, it's a podcast at WMGK.com. But one of the questions that I had to ask is, of course, what became really famous with the police was the battles that went on within the band.
Yeah.
I mean, there was tension in that band, and we only heard about it toward the end. Right, but no, it seems like it had been around for a bit. So I set him up like this. When you guys started, I mean, familiarity builds contempt. Was the tension there that ended up being there toward the end, or did that just build the natural way that familiarity would build?
Well, it is said that when you divorce, the reason you're getting divorced and taking out a contract on your soon-to-be ex-spouse,
okay,
probably the first thing that annoyed you when you first met, but it didn't annoy you that much. And that's probably true of bands as well. And there wasn't tension because we were codependent. But the tension was really all about compromise.
Uh-huh.
And both of us have pretty clear ideas of the rightness and the wrongness of where we should go with this song. And one of us is a little more malleable than the other and considers that there may be indeed more than one musical truth. Both things can be true. A guitar solo could be brilliant, and a sax solo could also be brilliant. Both things can be true. However, one member of the band, probably the senior songwriter, in fact, the senior songwriter, in fact, the main kick-ass songwriter of the band, had a less malleable view of artistic truth. Now, there's an upside to that, which that certitude produced some hits for us all to enjoy. And so, you know, it's a personality trait that did eventually lead to tension, and eventually we were at each other's throats, but it was an honest tension, if you like. It was a good reason to have tension, and before we did get the knives into each other's jugulars, we actually made some pretty darn good music.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Because of that tension.
Stuart Copeland, before that, along with the Police and da-da-da-da-da. And we've got more of Stuart that we will feature during the course of the week. But if you want to hear the entire interview, it's a podcast. You right now, you can go to WNGK.com and hear the whole thing. I mean, some of the idea, he tells us about it, and I'm not sure if we have this in any of the future clips, but the idea of he had like 10 minutes to come up with his drum parts for just about every song they ever did. That most of what we hear is his first playing of the drums for these songs. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, it really is. I mean, this for me, this goes down in history as one of like the great interviews that I've ever had.
Oh yeah, oh, it was phenomenal. Right, Steve walked out of there and said, "What? It was the greatest? That was the greatest musician interview I've ever been a part of."
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's great.
So far, Steve hasn't made one, you know, drum nerd joke about the two of us during the course of this.
I just assume that we'll hear it in the clips that are upcoming.
It's probably in there.
It's understood.
It is. All right,
That's sort of how I booked when I was talking to Stuart to get him on.
Right.
Was, listen, Stuart, it's going to be just a fun interview, but you've got two drum nerds that are going to ask you all sorts of drumming stuff, so just prepare yourself.
We never really spoke about lug nuts, did we?
He was prepared.
Next time. It's always next time.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9.
MGK.
Send the herd. Send the herd.
All right. This story is rather involved and actually has a correlation to our last story this morning. But after a fatal hit and run and accident, Aldeberto Orzeda attempted to evade the law over the weekend by fleeing across multiple cities at speeds of excess 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
A Utah Department of Public Safety helicopter was able to get Oteza's SUV in sight when he jumped out and ran away from the car. Officers were able to locate Oteza as he tried to conceal himself in a pile of manure in the middle of a corral.
Okay.
After being arrested, Oteza allegedly told police officers that he swallowed heroin, so paramedics transported him to a local hospital. While there, police handcuffed one of Oteza's hands to the hospital bed. Oteza slipped out of the handcuffs, fled on foot out the emergency room doors, and was found a short time later and taken into custody again. Right, along with the fatal hit and run, Oteza is being held for failing to stop at the command of police, interference with the arrest, possession of a controlled substance, and escape from official custody.
In the herd.
That's a pile of more than manure.
Yes, indeed. Right.
What do you got, Steve?
All right, Saturday morning, cops in Pomona, California, they tracked down a 32-year-old guy named Leobardo Hernandez. He had a stolen car. I don't know if Leobardo is a typo and he's actually Leonardo or he's a weirdo named Leobardo. He took off running and eventually busted into an apartment complex and ran into a stranger's apartment. This apartment was unlocked. Nobody was inside, so Leobardo decided to pretend that he lived there. He shaved, he changed his clothes, and he began cooking.
He's a pro.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right? Well, the cops tracked him down when he burnt the tortillas he was cooking and the fire department had to come. He surrendered and was arrested on several charges.
In the herd.
Dave.
Eric and Lori Harmon, they're both 36. They went for quite a spin while riding the glass gondola 187 feet in the air on the Skywheel in Myrtle Beach. Police said they found a video of the couple turning the Ferris wheel. into the phallus wheel on popular porn sites. You may have caught that on popular porn sites. I missed that one. But the clip allegedly shows the couple having sex also in a community pool in, get this, Horry County.
Horry County.
Horry County's community pool.
Is that where she was from?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, it fits. The incident also captured Lori urinating on two vending machines. I'll skip that part.
Why? You should have skipped that part.
Yeah,
I'll skip that part after I said it.
The frisky pair were arrested Saturday and each charged with indecent exposure, participation in preparation of obscene material, and Lori was also charged with malicious injury to personal property. Those poor vending machines. She was released on $14,000 bond this weekend.
In the herd.
Lastly this morning, remember our first story today. This guy should go to jail, but let's give him some credit for committing to his character.
Okay.
47-year-old Daniel Wright was arrested in Utah over the weekend for impersonating an officer, and he also stole something that the cops are known to enjoy. He walked into a 7-Eleven on Sunday wearing a jacket that said Sheriff's Department, and an employee called the real cops after Daniel decided to steal a donut. Police checked the security footage and tracked his white Ford pickup to a nearby motel where he was arrested along with a woman who he was with. It turned out that the truck was stolen, and they linked Daniel to another guy they arrested earlier that day who tried to hide in a pile of manure.
Come on.
Right? They're both facing charges for burglary and racketeering, and Daniel is facing additional charges for impersonating an officer and the theft of one donut.
In the herd.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Hey, baby, why don't you rip off that funny uniform and start shaking your moneymaker?
102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.